Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
A Florida man has told how he had to use the hand of God to try and steer a plane to safety after the pilot on the plane wasn't feeling so well.
Wasn't that Diego Maradona? Isn't that?
Yeah, he's using a quote from Diego Maradona in the hand of God.
Yeah.
Guy by the name of Darren Harrison from Florida. He was on a fishing trip with his mate to the Bahamas, you know, putting his feet up, relaxing on a single engine Cessna plane, when eventually the pilot said, "Ooh, I've got a bit of a headache, boys." And obviously at that stage, you're like, I'm not a qualified pilot. I'm not going to offer to take the wheel like it's the car or something like that.
Yeah.
And he said, "Oh, I've got a headache. My vision's going a little bit fuzzy." And the guy's like, "Hang on a sec. What's happening here?" At that point,
I'm assuming there's no co-pilot in this instance. No. There's one pilot and that's it.
It's like a little four-seater plane, one of those ones. Wow, and then at that point, he tried to keep chatting basically with the pilot, who was unresponsive at that stage, like not dying, but just like basically like on the ground. And he's like, oh dear.
Oh no.
What needs to happen next?
Yeah.
Well, there's him and his other mate. I guess they did Paper, Scissors, Rock. And
Who here has played Microsoft Flight Simulator? Show of hands.
Yep. Darren had to take the control stick, grab the headset, and had to try and contact basically the aviation control to try and work out exactly what to do.
Okay.
Amazing stuff. We've actually got a bit of the audio of the correspondence between the two.
Pilot has gone incoherent. No idea how to fly the airplane.
Alrighty there, sir. If I can just put you on hold for a minute, bear with me, please. Not what you really want to hear. Now that's not what happened. The correspondence went through. Obviously, you heard there a bit muffly, that basically saying, "I have no idea how to fly a plane. Can you please help me?"
Wow. I mean, how hard can it be? Number one rule when flying in aviation: aim plane away from ground. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, he said he used his basic knowledge of what he'd seen in movies and things as well. But this was the correspondence that took place with the aviation authority.
Number 333 Lima Delta, Roger. What's your position?
I have no idea. There's the Florida in front of me. I can't even get my nav screen to turn on. It has all the information on it. You guys got any ideas on that? I have no idea how to stop the airplane.
We're kind of under the sun. We're passing a cloud that I think looks like a hot dog.
Yeah, the first thing he's like, so how do I adjust this volume control on the headset? It's like, that's not important right now. You're going to try and fly the plane. But yeah, he said that the idea never entered his head of basically dying, because he's got a wife at home who's 7 months pregnant with their first child.
So he's like,
failure's not an option.
Fair enough.
So he followed all the instructions that he could from the air traffic controllers, a guy by the name of Robert Morgan, who literally saved his life, and the two other people on board as well. And luckily, when they were around 60 metres from landing, Harrison and Morgan had a bit of a chat about what needed to happen. You need to slow down and control the plane.
Were any of them trying to Google or look up on YouTube how to land a plane?
I would like to think the other guy didn't get burdened with trying to land the plane. Might have been offering some sort of assistance, but I probably doubt that. But the plane definitely touched down safely, and basically that he said thank you for everything. You know, he said after it finished, he literally just threw the headset on the dash when it landed. It was just oh my God, thank God this is over.
Yeah.
Luckily, it wasn't a passenger plane, because that's the case. You know, he's got the headset on making the pilot announcement about the point where he lands successfully. I imagine it would have sounded like this, I reckon.
Let me up! Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
There's some creatures that have been getting about for a little bit now that are causing some problems.
They're meant to be cute and cuddly.
Parents might be thinking, kids. You're talking about kids, right?
But they're charging, kicking, and ultimately causing chaos.
Parents will still be thinking, kids. Yeah. You're describing kids there. No, I'm describing kangaroos.
Oh, not corallas.
No, not the corallas. It's kangaroos. These things, obviously, were in Australia when we arrived. and here on the far south coast, you see them all the time.
Hanging out, doing their thing.
They hang out at golf courses. Often don't cause any problems. But up in Queensland, there's a golf course on the Gold Coast that is suffering from basically attacks from their kangaroos. They're attacking players. Like, this is Mary Kohler describing what happened to her when a roo just unleashed the fury on her playing a quick nine holes.
A kangaroo came from nowhere. I didn't realise it hit me.
It hit her all right, hard, here on a fairway of the Arundel Hills Country Club on the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
As in what, it threw in a quick jab, it swung the tail, it kicked her, it headbutted her?
No, normally golfers worry about their slice, but at this Arundel Hills Golf Club, you've got to worry about being sliced by kangaroo claws. That's what it did.
So it took a swipe.
Yeah, yeah. And their rear legs are obviously quite powerful. They're known for like grabbing you with their little tiny T-Rex arms,
and then
they rake you with their claws. But I mean, it's really weird because those roos are aggressive. Again, the ones we have down here don't seem aggressive. I've never heard of any roos attacking people here at the courses on the far south coast.
Country, they're all laid back.
Yeah.
Not a care in the world, these roos.
But apparently, Mary is not an isolated incident. There's been a number of attacks at this golf club.
More and more golfers are being forced to defend themselves with their own clubs.
One roo's actually attacked 15 people now.
One roo's attacked 15 people.
Yeah, it's still out there.
One roo has attacked 15 people.
He's just got a chip on his shoulder, right?
He is.
Old mate.
Ruthless, as they say. I don't understand why these roos are so aggressive. It's like they're forming, instead of a mob, they're forming gangs.
I know. How does that work? And then in Canberra, there was those kangaroos that were playing
invaded
a soccer
pitch. Yeah, I saw that the other day. Yeah, literal socceroos out at Canberra during a friendly game there. But these roos are out of control. I don't know why. Like, you're hanging out in the sunshine on the Gold Coast. You should be happy.
What we have to do is send in Skippy to go and basically bargain with him as a negotiator.
I might maybe give him a job at the pro shop as rent him out as caddies. Like, you can put all your clubs, the kangaroo pouch is nature's golf bag. You just stick all your clubs in there and have him hop around with you or give him something to do.
I really feel like you were chatting earlier about, you know, the dog stealing your ball. I really feel like they just pick up the golf ball and put it in their pouch. Another one for me.
One for me.
Yeah.
I mean, normally when you hear about sort of, like teenagers that are out of control, they just build a skate park and they go,
yeah,
that'll sort that problem out.
Yeah, see you later.
What have they done at the golf club to solve the roo situation?
The club does have warning signs. Players should not approach kangaroos.
Oh, well, that should be fine then. That'll be enough to get the job done.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
When it comes to most 19-year-olds, usually university is something that could be top of someone's list if they're looking for further education. If they're not, well, employment, joining the workforce.
Yeah.
You know, starting to adult a little bit more. For me, when I turned 19, my priority was getting the P's so I could hit that Macca's drive-thru. But, you know, each their own, I guess. But one 19-year-old in Melbourne, I tell you what, her priority list and life goals and things is just next level. Like, this Melbourne teenager, Gabby Kanase, well, she has been planning the last 5 years to climb Mount Everest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so this is like
tallest
a dream she's had
in the world.
At only 19. So this is a dream she's had since she was like knee high, basically.
And she was 14, preparing for this.
Preparing for it. Well, she's absolutely nailed it.
Just to know that you're literally on top of the world, there's nobody higher than you at this point.
It took Gabby 6 nights to trek from base camp at just over 5,000 metres, 20 kilometres up the treacherous mountain to reach the summit, almost 9,000 metres high.
Yeah, you may have reached the tallest summit in the world, but I would say Snoop Dogg is still higher than you.
No one's higher than Snoop Dogg.
I wouldn't make claims like that.
Yeah, what a great effort. I remember when I was in high school, I think year 11, they made us watch this documentary about a New Zealand guy and an Australian guy climbing Mount Everest. Unfortunately, the Australian guy died, and it was a pretty harrowing experience. The New Zealand guy.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that, just to, because people probably hear climb Mount Everest, you hear it that much these days. You're like, oh, yeah, it's probably no big feat these days. But
yeah,
no,
you can knock it over in a weekend.
Yeah.
It's easy enough.
Definitely is. But if you're
why
someone
are they showing this to you in school?
I don't know.
They just showed us The Outsiders.
Yeah. what a great movie that was. Yeah, the Australian guy unfortunately died. The New Zealand guy managed to, he had to cut the guy loose up the top. He had to make the decision because he was dead and he lost his fingers and some of his toes. So yeah.
Would you do that to me if we climbed Everest together?
Oh, cannibalism. Straight away.
Why do I get the feeling you would do that at base camp? We haven't even started the climb, and I wake up just in some sort of massive bath, marinating in some sort of sauce. You're like, what is happening, Hutsy? Shh, go back to sleep, Brad.
You're a bit bony at this stage, so I'd probably have to feed you up at base camp maybe. But yeah, you're thinking something like this, a 19-year-old. Who's someone you're taking with you for moral support?
Oh, I don't know. Some sort of mentor or
probably one of those, but she took one of her parents.
Oh.
She tackled the journey in extreme conditions alongside mum Jane, whose eyes began to deteriorate on the way down.
She had blurry vision, apparently, for a good deal of her descent.
Despite all the challenges, Gabby made it back down in just 2 hours. After some oxygen and sleep, miraculously, she was off again.
Was her mum willing to go with her on this?
I hope she didn't just drag along and guilt, "Mom, we never do anything together. You want to come to Mount Everest?"
Any parents who are listening who whinge about getting up in the cold on a Saturday morning to take their kids to play soccer or whatever.
You got nothing.
You got nothing. Like, at least they're not dragging you up Everest, you know?
This kid's just a ball of energy. Luckily, everyone was okay. She made it down safe and everything. Then she went straight up to Totse, another mountain, which is the fourth highest mountain in the world. So she was like, "I've still got some energy." So straight away, barely any rest, goes and does that as well. So you're thinking, once you've conquered Mount Everest, it's like, surely there's nothing. You've hit the peak earlier,
yeah.
19.
What else is on the bucket list?
Yeah, well, she's not going to be slowing down anytime soon. Have a listen.
Just days after the feat, the determined 19-year-old is already setting herself a new goal to one day conquer the 14 highest mountains in the world.
God. A full set, a full collection.
Yeah.
Just so amazing, though. What a record. She actually beat the Australian record by Melissa Azar by just a few months.
And
Once you've passed, you can't get that record back. That's gone forever until the next person tries to get to be the youngest person to climb.
So what, there's parents now training kids in nappies.
Yeah, maybe. Like, amazing. At just 19 years of age, achieving this as well. Most 19-year-olds, they struggle to climb out of bed, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you talk to most parents, when it comes to base camp, well, they usually spend the next 5 years there, let's be honest.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsie.